Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K 12 Education Talk Radio on Tuesday, August 2nd. Thanks for being here with us today. We have a show with our good friends from the National Association for Gifted Children today, and we're going to talk about their national symposium upcoming in a week or so. I think it's October, August 16th, okay? And it's the National Symposium on Equity for Black and Brown Gifted Students. Very important equity question, all right, from NAGC. And to talk about it today, we have Dr. Javetta Jones-Roberson. And Javetta is the District Coordinator of Secondary Advanced Academics and Gifted and Talented Program at the University of North Texas. Okay, she serves on the Diversity and Equity Committee for NAGC and a bunch of other things. And also Michelle Frazier Trotman, who's the Director of Graduate Affairs and Professor of Special Ed at the University of West Georgia and an NAGC Life member. Okay, good for you, Michelle. And we're going to have a discussion on all this. And just so you know, the way you can register is linked right here on the show description. Just go over there and check it out. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Everything we do is over there, okay? I just heard today that our Excellence in Equity Awards program is going to be extended for nominations, okay, because we kind of got inundated, so we wanted to extend it, since more and more people seem to want to nominate companies, colleagues, et cetera, et cetera. If you go to ace-ed.org, go to the awards program, icon and just click on that. It'll tell you what to do. Click on our magazine while you're there, the cover of the Equity and Access Pre-K 12. You see, great magazine. We're putting the new back to school issue together as I write, but the current one up there is pretty darn good. Check it out. TeacherRetention.com, teacher-retention.com is also over there. We're real concerned about that. Real concerned about SEL as well, plus every podcast we've ever done is over there. All the American Consortium for Equity in Education at ace-ed.org. Everything we do, please check it out. And we do a lot for you, for students, for K-12 education. We're pretty proud of it, and we hope you get involved with us. So please check it all out. Okay, without further ado, this is important. NAGC, the National Association for Gifted Children, has this national symposium on equity for black and brown gifted students. And I'm 98% sure, but I'm going to ask Michelle, is it August 16th, Michelle? August 16th, 18th? Michelle? Anybody there?
I'm actually here, Dr. Jones Robertson, Javetta. I'm here.
Hi, Javetta. But I have the other line open as well. Javetta's here.
I am here. I'm sorry. I realized I was on mute. I am here. My apologies.
A standard challenge, no problem, Michelle. Now, first of all, let me swing this around. Good morning, Javetta. How are you, Dr. Robertson?
I am good, and I actually want to give a quick correction. I am the district secondary coordinator for advanced academics and gifted in McKinney ISD. I am a lecturing professor at the University of North Texas.
Oh, thank you, McKinney ISD. Good enough. Okay, down in Texas. Thank you for letting me know that. I'm sorry I got that wrong. Okay,
no
forgive
problem.
Me.
No problem.
You can blame Dave over at NAGC because he didn't put a comma in there. Blame him.
Okay,
no problem. And Michelle Frazier Trotman. Okay, how are you, Michelle? It's Larry here.
How are you today? I'm fine. So, I'm Michelle Frazier Trotman Scott. There's another name in the hodgepodge here. So Michelle Frazier Trotman Scott. I'm a professor.
We're going to have to be yelling at Dave. Okay, we're good. Come, Mrs. Name, missing come. I apologize, everybody. Go ahead, Michelle.
It's okay.
Michelle,
no, it's okay.
This is great.
Michelle
I love it.
Michelle Frazier Trotman Scott. Right. FTS is for short. But
wow.
It is my pleasure to be here. I am a professor of special education, as stated, and as well as the director of graduate affairs at the University of West Georgia.
Wow.
I am a lifetime member of NAGC and current member of the board of directors of NAGC. So
thank
I am excited to be here as well.
And I'm excited to have you here. I am, and it's funny the way those introductions work. So thank you both for introducing yourselves. I have a link to register for this symposium, and I just want to make sure, is it October? I keep saying October. August 16th is when it starts. Am I correct, Michelle?
Yes.
Yeah, good.
Yes.
I got something right. I'm patting myself on the back. There we go. Okay, mm-hmm. It's good.
And I would say that Dr. Jones Robinson is going to, she is on that committee, and so she has a host of information about that. So she will be able to provide you with a lot of information about the symposium.
Thank you. Well, we will swing over to her in one second, but I'm going to ask you both something very important, okay?
Okay.
And I know this because I've done a lot of shows on equity with NAGC. Okay, it's hard enough to find education space and to identify kids, okay, who are gifted. But it's even harder, okay, and we're less effective when it comes to finding black and brown kids that are gifted, all right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a serious thing, okay, and it's a big, big error on everybody's part, and God bless NAGC and you guys for trying to change this, okay? And I'm going to ask Michelle, and you want to swing it over to Javetta, you can, or you just do whatever, but just talk about that equity issue regarding black and brown kids and gifted education. This is a key thing. It's really a big deal. And I'll start with Michelle, but you can swing it over to Javetta, whatever you want to do.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's fine. It is a big deal. It is true. There's the issue is equity and gifted education. A lot of times for me, what I like to attribute it to, there are a lot of implicit biases that take place because we pick up things as we go along in life. You know, we are seeing things where we see things, we hear things, people teach us things, and then it follows us on into adulthood, and then we become teachers, and then we perpetuate the same types of things. And so because of that, there are some things that some people may have heard growing up and may make them think that behaviors of different cultures or cultures that are different from them don't reflect that of giftedness. And so it's never, they never think, oh, this should happen. So those are some of the things that take place. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It is. It is. It's just nuts. And you know, we always talk here about inherent bias, and I always tell people it's wrong, but it's nothing to be ashamed of because there isn't a single person in the universe who doesn't have it. Okay, we just have to recognize it. Okay,
and
that's the key. And so it's not to blame anybody; it's to make us aware of it, so we can change the way we think and our attitudes towards things. Okay, Javetta, now that I figured this out here, that you're not the McKinney lecturing professor, but you're at McKinney ISD. Tell us, just real quick, tell us about McKinney ISD down in Texas. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I wanted to address actually the question just of what you asked in regards to
we're
going to
get into that. Yeah.
Right. Well, within McKinney ISD here, we have about 25,000 students. We're located in a suburb right outside of Dallas.
Yep.
Located there, we have not only gifted and talented, but we also offer advanced academics. So that's including advanced placement, dual credit, those types of opportunities, anything that helps build college and career readiness, we offer that to our secondary and elementary gifted students as well. So we have a plethora of options that our gifted students can choose from K through 12 in just supporting and building and helping them grow. And we have more things that we're adding for the upcoming school year. So in regards to equity and the question in general, I think that is a multifaceted answer when it comes to the issues in identifying students of color, black and brown, indigenous population students. I think a big piece, I totally agree with Shelley, Michelle, in regards to just some of those implicit biases. A lot of times it has to do with policy. So if you're dealing with a district or a school that does not have equitable policies in place, you're going to have an issue with identifying students of color. If you have issues with assessments and the nomination process, those referral pieces, those assessments that are being used that are not research-based or possibly assessments that do not cater to various languages, cultures, things like that, you're going to have an issue with identification. Mm-hmm. Professional learning, if you have individuals in leadership positions or teachers in these positions who are simply not trained to look for those different traits, personalities, those different characteristics of various types of gifted students, you're going to have an equity issue. So when I say it's multifaceted, those factors, there's not just one thing. It is just a plethora of things that contribute to that underrepresentation of gifted students. Even with curriculum, if you don't have something that's not tapping into those strengths of various students, seeing those students, you're going to have an issue. So I totally agree with Dr. Michelle, but like I said, it's just a multitude of factors that have to be acknowledged first and foremost.
Should I call you Shelly, Michelle?
Dr. Shelly, it's all good, but I was going to say that it is teacher preparation programs. I always talk about it, and I'm one, you know, and when you look at black and brown, the underrepresentation in K-12, we're underrepresented as well in higher ed. And so, again, when you are trying to teach students, I look at the teacher education programs, what is being taught. And so I am very intentional in what I teach students, the students that are prepping to become teachers so that they can be aware. So this is a necessary symposium, and I'm so glad that NAGC has committed to doing this.
Me too, and they're a good organization. Again, it's August 16th. I assume, and I might be wrong, Javetta, is this virtual, or do you have to be there live?
That's a great question. So this is virtual. This is the 16th, 17th, and 18th. We have three full pack days of learning and growing. Just an amazing program of speakers and experts in our field, of not only gifted education, but education in general. So I think it's three different days, 16th, 17th, and 18th. It is virtual. You will have the opportunity to access it later if you do purchase your actual registration for your school or for your district or for some other colleagues. We're hoping you do that because we definitely understand right now is a busy time with school being get ready to start for school districts and even for preparing for universities. So we still want to be able to get that feasible option because we know we're still in a virtual age right now. So we do have that option for everyone.
Yeah, just go to NAGC.org, everybody, and you'll be able to – it's right on the front page. Symposium registration is now open. And this is really key, and I love the way you both talked about preparations as teacher preparation. Because teacher preparation, just in understanding the gifted, is lax, okay? That's not a big part. It needs to be a bigger part, okay, of teacher prep. And then also, now you apply that to the further challenge of black and brown students, okay, who are just as smart as every other kid, I might add, okay, but we got to be able to understand that. And, you know, it's really an interesting situation, language difficulties, et cetera. Which brings me, I just got to ask this, Javetta, when does school start in McKinney? You must be coming up soon.
Actually, school starts next Thursday. Or next Tuesday, excuse me.
And in Georgia, it started yesterday.
So everybody, good luck with that. Up here in the Northeast, I'm in Maine. We don't start till after Labor Day. So good luck to everybody. I know school is starting.
Remember those days.
Oh, boy. You know, just some. So good luck, everybody, and have fun. I wanted to ask you, Javette, I just want to ask you about McKinney. I want to harp on this for a second, okay? What is the I'm asking this for a reason in light of what we're talking about. What is the demographics of McKinney ISD? It's 25,000 kids, but what are the racial, if I may, male, female, gender, race, et cetera, demos, do you know, offhand?
Right. So, yeah. So with our district, we're sitting at, and please do not quote me on these exact terms. We did have a fluctuation in our demographics of students. We have had an increase in Hispanic and English learners this past year for our students. So I believe we're sitting between 30% and 40%. But please do not quote me on that.
This is anecdotal. It's okay. You're a smart lady. You can look at it and figure it out. But go ahead, please.
We also have about 13% or 14% of students, between 14% and 20% of students who are Black and African American. But like I said, do not quote me on that. These are just roundabout numbers. And like I said, we've had an increase in Hispanic and Latino students as well as English learners.
And I'm going to ask the funny question now. What is the ethnic makeup, the diversity of the staff, the faculty? And by the way, everybody, McKinney's a good school district. I'm just asking because she's there at McKinney, okay? Not picking on McKinney. What's the ethnic and diverse makeup of the staff, the faculty?
Okay, Javette. So because I'm located in curriculum instruction, I only work with secondary schools.
Mm-hmm.
But I can only give you a roundabout number. If you want full numbers and actual numbers for our district, you actually can go to TEA.gov, the Texas Education Agency, here in Texas, and they can give you all of that information as well as on MISD's website. But we do have a plethora of teachers and makeup of knowledge and expertise ranging from new teachers all the way up to teachers who've had 25 to 30 years plus experience at our schools and campuses. So we have a wide range of teachers and staff who work here.
Yeah, I know you do, and I know it's a good district. And the reason I'm asking, okay, is because one of the great challenges out there is that, and I'm just going to use McKinney as just an example, okay? In most school districts, all right, these days, the faculty and staff are not matching the demographics of the students.
Right.
Okay? Right. And everybody means well, and there's wonderful teachers out there. Please don't misunderstand. But there's a cultural difference, okay? It's hard, okay? We need to get more Black and brown educators involved to match our students. That's a key thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, and that's why I was asking the question, okay? One of the things, I'll just say this, one of the things we do here, we have a PD program, professional development, okay? And what we try to do is make it what we call it compassionate teaching. Okay, and it's all about recognizing the different cultures, and I'm leading up to this equity thing, in your school district and how your inherent bias, if I may, okay, doesn't allow you to really see the kids the way they are. Okay, and we have great strategies for overcoming that. It's the same thing with picking out the gifted kids, the gifted and talented kids. All right, if we don't understand where the culture is, okay, or the way a student looks, might say, oh, look at this kid isn't ready for this. But that's just a cultural thing, all right? And we have to be prepared for this. The world is changing out there, okay? It really is. When you talk, and I'm going to harp on this, Javette, when you talk about the gifted and advanced program at McKinney, okay, how's the reaction of all the teachers? What do they look at when they see it for the gifted program and the community?
Can you repeat the question? I didn't understand. I didn't hear.
Sure. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me clear my throat. When you have a gifted program at McKinney, all right, what is the reaction of selecting kids for that program, okay, from the community, the parents pushing it, from the teachers pushing it? How's it work?
Yeah, so we actually, quote unquote, don't select kids. We actually have a process that we go through, a nominating and referral period. We have a very active parent and community association, which is the McKinney Gifted and Talented Alliance that we have here personally, that is very active, very supportive, and just here to just adhere to any needs that we need as a district. I know my cohort, my elementary person, since I am secondary, my elementary coordinator, he is amazing as well in making sure that we have great alignment from elementary to secondary. And we have a good response from our teachers. We make sure we include our stakeholders, we train our teachers, and we give them opportunities to grow as well. So, but that's not just here in our district. I know that also deals with state legislation and even with other districts across the U.S. It really deals with what is alignment to their state, to their district and their processes and policies that they do. So I know you'll learn more about this when you come to the symposium, because that's why we are here.
That's right.
We are
NAGC.org. August 16th, and it's virtual.
On the symposium, how amazing it's going to be for all of participants and individuals who are attending will learn and grow from. So we're very excited about the symposium.
You should be. You should be. And what I'm trying to do is paint a picture of an average district here. And, you know, I want to go over to Shelley. Shelley, okay, when you prepare students, okay, to become teachers, mm-hmm. that's what you do at the university, you know, your graduate level, okay? Mm-hmm. Do the teachers, your professor is special ed, by the way, that means you're going to heaven. I don't know if you know that. All special ed people go to heaven. I don't know if you know that, but it's true. Okay? So now you're director of graduate affairs, okay? But in terms of the gifted, as you talk to educators now probably going for their master's degrees, okay, where mm-hmm. do you see, where's the status of gifted within what you see? How's that work?
So the status is not, it does not exist unless someone is intentional of getting gifted endorsement. And so that is the thing. I am a professor of special education. I'm on both ends. I have people with disabilities, exceptionalities on both ends of the spectrum. So disabilities as well as gifts or differing gifts and talents. So I'm on both ends of the spectrum. And what I have done, though, because the most of the teachers that I prepare, not so much undergraduate anymore, but more those who are in the Masters of Arts and Teaching, so those who have gone from one area and then have come over to education. And so what I do, though, is I am intentional as well, and I make sure that they have modules dealing with cultural characteristics. I make sure that we are talking about these different types of things. And I also make sure, and I am very intentional about gifts and talents, especially because we have a large population as well as of students that have dual exceptionality, or what people call 3E or thrice exceptional, of being a student from a marginalized population as well as having a disability and as well as having a gift or talent. So I want to talk to them about looking at the dynamics and not so much as the deficits. So, yes, you may have a student that has a difficult time or has dyscalculia, may have a difficult time with math, but this student may be a superb storyteller or writer. And so we have to look at what they can do and be able to look at that. And so for me, I am very intentional of pointing that out, and I'm also comfortable with doing so. I do have colleagues who are not African-American or Latino or Latina, and they don't necessarily feel comfortable, but they are allies. And so they want to make sure that their students get this information. And so what I end up doing is I end up serving as a guest lecturer in many classes so that these students can get something in a way where they can become comfortable. Now, I am saying that, and I don't want people, though, to feel just because you don't have to be black or brown to to speak about the information. And so, you know, I really also work with my colleagues and really work on providing them with help and encouragement so that they too can speak about this thing and be okay with speaking about this thing. And so, you know, we're just in a, you know, it just depends on the climate and the culture. But nonetheless, when I'm asked to go and speak, I go and speak regardless because the students need to hear about it.
They sure do. And I'm gonna ask you to stay with me, Shelly, Dr. Fraser Trotman Scott, okay, if I may.
Yes.
Who should attend this seminar? Again, August 16th, virtual, NAGC.org, go over there. But this is an important question because it's not just teachers, if you ask me. I'm kind of giving you the answer, but I'm just curious. Okay. It's administrators, superintendents, and also school board members. Okay?
Yes.
Because a lot of them don't understand. You know, what? And the classic is, well, these are smart kids. They'll learn themselves. We got to aim towards the middle. Who should go to the seminar? Who do you want to attend, Shelly? And I'll ask Yvette the same thing. Shelly, from your
point, I would say everyone, all stakeholders included. I would even invite politicians and state coordinators and that type of thing because they need to know what is going on. You are correct. They feel that because these students have gifts and talents that they don't need any help or what have you, but they do. You know, they need their curriculum needs, educational needs met. And so everyone needs to come here and they can hear about not just the curriculum needs, but also the cultural needs, why it's important to be culturally competent, why it's important to that
good
you
point.
Can't think everyone has to be in the same realm. And just because we're talking about black and brown, not all black and brown situations are the same. You have some that are on that have higher income, that are in higher income brackets. You have those that are living in single parent homes. You have those who are living in areas where they are below the poverty line. And so I think everyone should come because you need to realize that your student will be recognized in this symposium. So everyone, all stakeholders, community holders, anyone who is important and who loves or loves someone who is being educated today needs to come.
Okay. Yvette cannot answer that question any better than you did. I know that. So I'm going to ask her a different question. Okay. Yvette, Dr. Jones Roberson. Okay. I have a question for you. All right. And the question quite simply is, and this is key, we're talking about equity for black and brown gifted students, all right? You probably have to answer this question a million times. Why should we even, in tight economic times, throw dollars and go and start to build better gifted education programs? Why should we even look at that as something that's a priority these days? Why the gifted? Yvette, you're on. I know you can answer that.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was making sure I wasn't on mute. I was.
You didn't want to do a mute.
Right. I was. Well, no, it wasn't that. But I think this is such a priority because for decades, our field has experienced underrepresentation for these dynamic group of students. And I think the symposium does give stakeholders and attendees a great opportunity to really shift that underrepresentation, to learn how to build a foundation for critical conversations around your gifted programs and other inequitable structures that your district or schools may be experiencing knowingly and unknowingly. It really gives you an opportunity to really dig deep, look in the data and ask those questions. And also it taps into the decision makers, who are those individuals who are really trying to shift and make those changes as well. Also with the educators in the classroom too, just thinking, it really is a symposium for all. And I think that by addressing what has been occurring for decades, having a symposium to touch each day, focusing on these various aspects within underrepresentation, various factors. I think that is true gold. I think it can really help grow our field, but also make leaders, educators, counselors, parents build some intentionality about their future action steps to support gifted students.
Yeah, and where are we? Okay, a school. There's 12,000 school districts, 13,000 school districts. I don't know how to answer this question, but just percentage-wise, anecdotal, and this is one to Shelley. Shelley, where are we on gifted programs? Are we good across the board? Are we about 50% there? The equity issue, if you take it all together, where are we? Just a kind of a scale answer. I don't know how to ask that question, but I think you know
right.
what
and
I mean.
I do know what you mean, and I'm not quite sure on how to answer that because I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I do know that that equity is still an issue. You know, just in the district where my daughter attended and graduated from, all three of my daughters, there was issues with equity. I'm dealing with the school district now, and while they are the majority of the district is African American, followed by Latina, or the way that it is, they are identified in the data is Hispanic. Although that is the case, there's like 61,000 African American students in this district, and
wow.
of that, only 3,000 are identified as gifted. That's not even 10%. So you know that there's more there. All right. And so, and even when you asked Dr. Robeson the question about what do the teachers look like in this district, these teachers are African-American. They are African-American. But again, that's why I go back to the teacher preparation programs, because the teachers are just perpetuating what they were taught. So it does not necessarily matter your race, ethnicity, gender, or what have you, if what is being taught to them is perpetuating and embedding biases, then you're going to go and you're going to do the same thing. And so it's not until you have a person in these spaces that can be very intentional of making sure that you are letting people know this is what is happening. Let me open your eyes to it. Now you can acknowledge it. And now let's work on a plan so that we can fix it. So I'm happy to be a former teacher and administrator in the K-12 on the K-12 level. I'm very excited that I have gone through the gamut in higher ed as well as becoming a higher ed administrator. And I'm very excited that we have people like Dr. Jones Robertson who is able to be in the school district and also take that real time knowledge and experience and go and be an adjunct professor at an institution where she is teaching this information so that we can reduce this type of behavior that takes place.
You're both pretty good professors. They're lucky schools at University of North Texas for Javetta and University of West Georgia for Shelley, Dr. Fraser Trotman. Scott, and you said something interesting. You said it's a school district of 61,000 students, okay, which the vast majority are African-American, Latino. Okay, 3,000.
No, I was going to tell you 61,000 African. Yeah, 61,000 students.
Okay,
61,000 students. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And I'm curious. You said that there were 3,000 that were now listed as gifted. What should that number be? You said that was
way low.
No, there were
3,000.
What do you want that number to be?
Right, and so it depends. And so, Dr. Donna Ford was the first person who utilized the EEOC equity issue, the 80% rule that happened with the EEOC. She was the first one to apply that to education. And so what Dr. Ford basically says is she looks at the number of students who are that make up a subgroup. So say, for example, in this particular case, just so I can make math easy, in this particular case, let's say this particular school district has 10 black students in their district. According to Dr. Ford, then that means that at minimum, you should have at least, you know, there should be at least two students who have been identified as gifted in that particular case. It's the whole 80% rule that you should have at least right, that number of students that should be identified as gifted. I think I said that. I've slipped it.
What you're saying, if I heard you correctly, 2 out of 10, so 20%. Okay, so in a district of 61,000, okay, that would be 6,100. That would be 6,100 is 10%. So 20% is 12,000. Okay,
right.
And you're saying it's 3,000.
3,000.
And that's a little low. Something
and
wrong.
I have to tell you, when you look at the data, the black students make up most of gifted education. But when you look at the number of black students that they have in the district versus the number that make up it looks like, oh, well, it's equitable because this is how many of students that are in here, this number of students are black, and this is fine.
Yes.
But when you look at it as a whole, there's an underrepresentation because somebody somewhere is not being identified, if that makes sense.
And you'd have even more, you have to be very, very, kids will respond to rigorous curriculum. I'll say it this way. And if we're not rigorous with the kids, you're not going to see how high they will rise. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
exactly.
It's that simple.
Exactly.
And, well, ladies, I wish you're going to have a great time at this symposium. Again, everybody, NAGC.org. It's right on the front page there. You can sign up, learn all about it, see the schedule, et cetera, et cetera. It's virtual August 16th, 17th, and 18th. And Dr. Javetta Jones-Roberson and Dr. Michelle Fraser-Trotman-Scott. I got it all right. Okay.
Yes,
you two are wonderful.
You did.
Yeah. Good luck with everything these next couple of weeks. Okay, you're going to do it. You're going to do a great job and have a great time. So thank you.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having us. And please register for the Equity Symposium. It is going to be 3 fun-filled days of learning, growing, and just overall a great time. We've got great speakers, great keynotes, and just wonderful surprises planned in between. It's going to be a phenomenal event.
That was the best way to end this I could think of.
Right.
You wouldn't want to miss it.
Right.
And I'm going to say it again, not just special ed teachers, not just gifted education teachers, school board members, parents.
Yes.
Okay. And administrators. Okay. It's a coordinated effort. We got to do it. Thank you, ladies. You guys have welcome back to school, everybody. Have a good time. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks
You're welcome.
For having us. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay. Wow. 2 great ladies. Dave Cutler over at NAGC. Thanks, buddy, for helping me set up the show. That's Dr. Javetta Jones-Roberson at McKinney ISD, and she's a lecturer at University of North Texas. Okay. And then also Michelle Fraser-Trotman Scott. Dr. Scott is Director of Graduate Affairs and Professor of Special Ed at the University of West Georgia. And as she proudly said, an NAGC Life member. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. And I'll tell you, it's a cultural thing. Please look at what we're doing. Go to teacher-retention.com and then click on professional development. It's a cultural thing. What can I tell you? Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. Have a good day.